Hello everyone, it's George from Ireland. Welcome back to my channel. I'm commenting on what was happening in the Republic of Korea, what has been for the few days, when President Yoon Suk-yeol, I hope I pronounced it correctly, my Hangul is not absolutely fluent, strangely, when he proclaimed martial law on Tuesday, it's now Friday, and that's a move that stunned the world. And then he subsequently ordered the arrest of various leading politicians, including the leader of the opposition, Lee Jae-myung, and he's leading the Democratic Party and other prominent politicians. And that's the National Intelligence Service has said. That's the, sort of their equivalent of the FBI / CIA and so on. So it surprised many people. There'd been a bit of political deadlock beforehand. Remember, it's a like executive presidency. There is no prime minister. So troops came to close down parliament. Remember, they got compulsory military service in South Korea. So all boys do about 2 years of military service. I knew a Korean New Zealander, completed university in New Zealand. He didn't want to do his Korean military service, but his father ordered to him, say, and he said, well, you know, we're Korean, we obey our parents, that's just what we do. So it's a very patriarchal, authoritarian society, a free society at the same time in some ways, and like in terms of free speech and do what you want or drink alcohol or don't or get married or not or have children or not. I mean, they're not having children is a big issue. I'll come to that later. I mean, homosexuality, yes, allowed, very much disapproved of and so on. But it was sort of voluntarily authoritarian, if I can say that. This Confucian idea of extraordinary deference to elders and ancestor worship, even those who call themselves Christians would have portraits of their male line ancestors and kowtow to them. So agnatic kinship groups is what matter. So I know they're cousins of the Chinese, but like I said, they're definitely not Chinese, but obviously they do have some cultural similarity. And now I know people in Ireland, a lot of people would throw a fit when I point out that we're the same as the English to a very great extent and the other British peoples. But, you know, seen from the far side of the world, we'll say, what's the difference? He may well be impeached, removed from parliament. Remember a previous president, she's in jail for abuse of power. So the idea that he's going to end up in the slammer is not beyond the bounds of possibility, by no means. So the opposition have the majority in the parliament, they're 300 seats, but they would need 200 votes to successfully impeach the president, and they don't quite have that. Will some of his party vote against him? It seems quite likely. The People Power Party, that's the one that's mainly behind the president. Han Dong-hoon is leading this one. So has Yoon abused his power? He said we needed to because it was excellent with the situation. I'm surprised that North Korea hasn't exploited this. They may yet do division in the Republic of Korea. Remember, the so-called Democratic People's Republic of Korea, that's North Korea, is one of the most vicious totalitarian states in the world, ruled by the Kim dynasty. And Kim Jong-un, the current leader, he is the third dynast. So you might say, well, whilst South Korea is riven with discord and so forth and confusion, they could easily confound South Korea's plans by invading, by firing things, stuff like that. But I'm surprised they haven't made the most of this opportunity. They may yet exploit it. Remember, about a fortnight ago, the news came out that North Korea had dispatched around 10,000 troops to train in the Russian Federation, defend the Kursk. Hello, Teresa Smuts. How do I pronounce it? Will she even? Will they send more troops? There are rumors up to 100,000 troops to be dispatched to aid the Russians. So that's another thing. Does Russia have a hand in this? I don't think so. People do get sometimes a bit too excitable about Russian gray zone warfare, hybrid warfare, influence operations all around the world. And they sometimes see Russia's hand where it's actually not there. They have very little sway over South Korea. What they had in terms of commerce, they've lost virtually all that since the invasion of Ukraine almost 3 years ago. But by having sent troops, shells and so on, to help Russia and Ukraine, North Korea's got less to play with than it did. I mean, not hugely less in terms of troop numbers, but should be going up and up. But North Korea's economic situation getting a bit better because getting oil, food and whatever else, and some military technology from Russia in payment for the lives of their troops. So South Korea may be sending military aid to Ukraine. Up until now, they stopped short of sending lethal aid. They would send tanks, flak jackets, helmets, radios, ration packs, medicines, medical instruments, but not actually anything that could kill people, anything that could save people. So what's going to happen? And remember, obviously, South Korea had a military government for a long time. Despite all this guff in the United States, they're fighting for democracy when they were defending South Korea. They weren't. And it was a really vicious regime in South Korea in the Korean Civil War that deliberately killed tens of thousands of civilians. I know the communists in North Korea were vicious as well, but it seems that South Korea was even worse, run by Syngman Rhee. And of course, the naive American public being told he's a Democrat is only in 1988, about the time of the Seoul Olympics, that South Korea properly transitioned to democracy. And it was a very prosperous country, a country almost bereft of natural resources, just by good governance and sound education and sheer endeavor, has risen from being a third world country, being a first world country in just two generations. And so now is one of the most developed countries in the world, if you look at the Human Development Index. But they face this demographic time bomb, you know, fertility rate of like sort of 1.2 or something. I mean, it's bad in many advanced Western economies, but it's just horrendous in the Republic of Korea. And so they've gone from, say, having like five children on average a couple of generations ago, to having about one now, partly because they stay in full-time education to the mid-20s. It's got one of the highest university participation rates in the world, and the school isn't enough. They have to go to a Hagwon Study Institute tutorial college, work, extremely competitive. And they do seem a bit too materialistic. People say this to the Chinese as well. China's nothing like as wealthy as South Korea. But you've got to remember where they're coming from. But the 1950s, South Korea was absolutely wrecked by all those years of Japanese rule, by the Second World War, by the Korean War, and they came out from abject poverty. I mean, close to starvation to being rich. So it's all very well, people from like me coming from Ireland, a rich country, were being, even when we're so-called poor in the 70s, that was only compared to Western Europe, when they were just so penurious that understandably there's a bit of overkill when they come to amassing possessions and being able to afford a few treats and want to make the money. And not necessarily spending so much. Teresa Smuts, you sent me some direct messages some time ago, but I can't remember where you are. Looking forward to be your tour guide in London town. What are they going to do to boost their birth rate? I mean, you could have a tax on childlessness like in ancient Rome, and they're talking about a big baby bounty when a child is born. What can they do about free childcare, about time off work, but all my career, and I don't want to be taking 6 months or a year off for maternity leave and paternity leave and things like that? Because obviously, without enough babies, there are no South Koreans. One thing I thought is buying North Koreans. We'll pay you in rice or whatever to free people in the slave labor camps. Obviously, North Korea mostly send them double agents or severely disabled people or people who are dying. Or there are a lot of North Koreans working in China, and China, if they try to run away to South Korea, the Chinese return that brutal regime, making a deal with the People's Republic of China, which is not doing very well economically, that we'll pay you for each one you give to us, and we'll pay you for people. So buying Koreans, freeing them, if you can't actually, you're not going to produce enough babies. But when fertility rate gets this low, does it ever come high again? And, you know, Japan's facing a similar problem, Taiwan, Hong Kong, I know a special region of China, Western European countries are like that. And when they're not quite at a South Korean level, they're going to be at a South Korean level. What are we going to do? Now, I know, so they say, relax, you've got about 9 billion people in the world, more people alive now than ever died. But we're going down to have so few children. And without children, there is no future for the human race. I think the human race is worth something. I think there is some value in human life. Maybe I'm wrong. Now, nobody's obliged to have children. Nobody's obliged to stop having children. But we need to make it a little bit easier for those who do. Anyway, I reckon that he's going to be successfully impeached, if not this time, in a few months' time, and may well end up in jail. So it was obviously clearly the wrong decision, trying to bring back a military rule. I don't think it was necessary. His approval rating is only 13%, and obviously going to fall lower the longer this crisis goes on. Right, thank you so much for watching my channel. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon, donate to PayPal, georgecallahan79@gmail.com. 감사합니다. 안녕하세요.